Welcome to the Israel Answers series, connecting Israel, the Bible, and you. Join Susan Michael as she explores timely issues and current events from a scriptural perspective to equip the Christian world with a balanced and biblical response. Be sure to subscribe for future episodes, which will ignite your faith and bring the Bible to life in your everyday world. Now, let's join Susan with your Israel Answers.
Well, we are once again recording from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, where we have run into so many friends and made new friends. And we have one today with us, Nir Solomon. You are with an organization called Ifrat, right?
Correct.
Well, tell us a little bit about Ifrat and what you do.
All right. So Ifrat is really the pro-life organization in Israel. We've been around for over 47 years. And we've helped over 86,500 women have the children they so desperately wanted to have. Every one of them is raising her own birth child.
Is that right?
Yeah. So imagine today, when they were in the midst of the war, over 47 years, 86,500. There are hundreds of thousands of lives today in Israel that are direct or indirect result of our work. And today we have the unbelievable privilege to all of a sudden meet them as adults on the war front, believe it or not.
Really?
Telling us, you know, parents calling us up for all kinds of assistance that they're looking for. And they're saying, remember, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you fought for the lives of these children. And today they're fighting for your lives.
Isn't that
it's
amazing?
Remarkable.
What? How rewarding.
Yes.
Well, tell me how you got started in this.
So I'll tell you, it's a crazy story. It was actually started by an Argentinian Jew who decided that he was dedicating his life to saving lives. How do you do that? So he thought, is you become a doctor. And he became a doctor. And then he realized doctors oftentimes don't save lives. They look in your throat. They look in your ears. They don't save lives. So he became a surgeon. He felt that's closer to life-saving. But surgeons also don't always save lives, but that was his profession. He served in the Knesset as the Knesset's doctor. He served in the Yom Kippur War as managing a field hospital. So he felt he was doing his mission by God. One day, a child comes to him in Shaarei Tzedek Hospital in Jerusalem. He cut his finger, and the doctor is stitching up the boy. The boy is 7 years old. As he stitches up the boy said, turns to the doctor and says, doctor, thank you for saving my life. So he says to him, no, I just, you know, it's no big deal. So he says, okay, whatever. That's what my mom wanted me to say. Go speak to my mom. The mother comes over and the mother says, doctor, you know, this is your child. He says, what do you mean it's my child? She says, you know, 8 years ago, I was sad in this hospital and you walked over to me. And you said, ma'am, what's the matter? And you told me, I told you, the woman says, I told you that I was told that I have to terminate my pregnancy because I had an x-ray during my pregnancy. And what you did was you looked into my eyes with so much love. And you said to me, ma'am, that's medicine we know today is not true. We once believed it to be true. Today, it's not true. I'm not a radiologist. I'm a surgeon. You can go for a second opinion. But God should be with you and you should have a wonderful, healthy child.
Wow.
He said, I didn't go anywhere just because the love in your eyes, this child is alive today. He's completely healthy, a little mischievous. He cut his finger, but completely healthy. And he said, wait a second. I went to medical school. I became a surgeon. And there are so many abortions taking place that all that's needed is a little bit of love and care. He turned his life around and volunteered for this organization for 45 years. Until a little bit over 2 years ago, he passed away, and I was charged to take over it with his son-in-law, Chagai Goldschmidt. Yes.
And your story then, how did you get involved in this?
So I just didn't believe that people in Israel are aborting because they can't afford a crib or they can't afford a care. I couldn't believe it.
Yes.
And when I discovered, I actually had a restaurant, and I was asked to provide a meal for a bereaving family. Nothing to do with the, you know, with an abortion. So they lost a relative and they said, you know, they're an Ifrat family. I said, what's Ifrat? And they told me about this organization. I said, I don't believe it. So I've been volunteering for about 20 years. My son, who today is in the war, serving in the Golani Brigade. Yesterday, he gave me a call. That's the only phone call I answer when anybody calls. He called me, says, you know, Abba, I'm going up north. I don't know where it is, but I'm going to be without a phone for the next 18 days. And he was a story that they tried to pressure us to terminate pregnancy when he was, you know, when he was on the way here. And thank God, you know, we chose life and we help thousands of women each year. Efrat, you should read about us at efrat.org. Efrat saves over 3,500 children every single year in Israel.
How many?
3,500.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Well, what does Efrat mean? Why is that the name of the organization?
I'll tell you why. Because Miriam, Moses' sister, was named Efrat. Why Efrat? Because it has in that word the word true. True means be fruitful. Miriam was the archetype of the pro-life movement. Why? Her father, Amram, Moses' father, when he heard the decree of Pharaoh that the males will be killed, so he said, okay, we got to get divorced because I want to make sure that my wife does not become pregnant so that they don't kill our children. Miriam turns to her father and says, you know, father, Pharaoh decreed death on the males. Your decision to divorce our mother decrees death also on the females. At least if there's a female, she'll survive.
Yeah.
He decided to remarry his wife. And everybody in Egypt at that time remarried because of that decision. And then Miriam was a midwife. And she didn't really think that she's only going to save the girls. She knew that she will defile Pharaoh's order.
Yes.
And she'll hold the hand of every single woman. When that baby's born, she'll risk her life against the decree to be able to help that woman. And after the baby's born, she cared for them as well. As we know, she cared for her brother Moses, which at the end was the savior of the Jewish people. So that's where the name comes from. We try to promote the beauty of becoming pregnant and stand by every single woman when they're in time of need.
Nice. Well, and so is that a story from the oral tradition?
So, no. So in the written Torah, it says Miriam.
Yeah.
And our sages tell us, we know Miriam was a midwife because they're called Shifra and Pu'ah.
Okay.
But the oral tradition talks about her naming as Efrat. So that's where it comes in. Correct.
I've never heard that story. Correct. So that's why.
Correct.
Beautiful. Well, talk to us a little bit. You know, I find this so interesting because in the United States, there's a large, you know, political divide, and the majority of the Jewish community is of the more liberal Democratic side. And I know that there's a growing number that are now Republicans. I see it all the time. More and more Jewish people are going conservative, and mainly because of Israel. But the abortion issue in America is very divisive. And so we have a lot of our conservative Christians who are pro-life, but a lot of the Jewish community, which is of the more liberal secular bent, is pro-abortion. And so I love what you're doing in Israel, and how is it received, or how would you speak to our largely Christian audience how to understand this? And you're an Orthodox Jew, you're religious. So is this something you have in common with other religious, even in America, or how does that work?
So I'll tell you, that's a great question. The truth is that I believe that the Jewish community in the United States is on not the pro-abortion side, but they're really on the pro-choice side in the sense, and I know pro-choice usually means pro-abortion.
Yes.
But they are in the sense that they don't want it regulated by the government.
Uh-huh.
But it's not a culture that celebrates abortion. Not in Israel, that's for sure, that I can tell you. Neither in America. But what I do want to share with you is that we actually, the Efrat organization, because of this problem, we think that the conversation must change.
Yes.
Right? It doesn't have to be anti-abortion, but it does have to be for life.
Yes.
So being life-affirming is essential. And I think that the Jewish communities, if they're willing to embrace that, we're life-affirming. We don't necessarily want it banned at conception. Okay, now there's the discussion starts shifting. So the Efrat organization actually started the first ever crisis pregnancy center run by Jews here in the United States.
Wonderful.
We started in Florida because we realized that there are Jewish women who feel comfortable in a Jewish environment.
Yes.
But need our assistance.
Yeah.
So in Israel, for example, the majority of the assistance is material. We give a crib, a carriage, a baby bath, food and clothing for at least 24 months after the baby's born. In the United States, there's other issues. There's healthcare problems.
Yeah.
There's other issues that we need to address. So at least elevating the discussion within the Jewish community, I think really finds a very important bridge between Christians and Jews. And it has to come from a position of somebody who's clearly centered within the Jewish community. So a lot of Jewish communities welcome us very much. And some others think that we are really trying to reflect what the Christian right, right. is trying to reflect in the United States. We right. have that same pushback in Israel. So when Roe v. Wade was overturned in the U.S., we came under attack.
Uh-huh.
And they sent us in Israel. Okay, so now Efrat, and at least we got some primetime TV spots, right? But they said, okay, so you're going to try to ban abortions in Israel. We said, no, we're not going to try to politically ban abortions in Israel, but we're obviously working on reducing the abortions. We're working on it because we've seen that if you allow a woman to be void of any external pressures, especially financial, most women in Israel, if not almost everyone, chooses life.
Is that right?
It's not a culture of choosing to have an abortion. We have during the war, can I share with you a story?
Yes.
We have during the war, crazy stories that we did not think are going to happen. We have soldiers on the battlefront calling us up, telling us the following. Our wives have a scheduled abortion. We pressured them into having the abortion because we're financially strapped. But now we realize we're fighting for our lives. How can we now abort our children?
Right.
How is that even possible? So you have to reach out to our wives. We reach out to them. And they say to us, what's going on? My husband tried to convince me we can't afford a child. We said, okay, but we'll alleviate those pressures. What do you want? She said, of course I want a child. And now we're helping give birth to all of these children where their husbands, they say to us, well, our husband is on the front lines. We are financially strapped. How do we know we'll be able to provide? And we say to them, we don't know. We'll provide whatever we can and God will provide the rest. And you and I know children cost much more than a crib and a carriage, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
But we need to alleviate the women's pressure. So we're doing that in Israel and we're trying to bring it as an awareness in Jewish communities in the United States as well. And I think that they are turning a little bit towards the Republican side. But again, we don't take political sides.
No.
We just take the side of the woman to help her have her baby.
This is so beautiful and so encouraging. And I'm so happy to find that you're starting in the United States.
Yes.
You're right. It's a point of commonality between Jews and Christians once we kind of get that nuanced right, like you say, that the Jewish religion and the Jewish people are very pro-life,
right.
meaning life,
very,
right?
Very.
L'chaim.
Right, right.
It's all about life
right.
and saving lives. So it really doesn't make sense. I mean, the abortion rate in Israel has been quite high, right?
It's on a tremendous decline.
Decline.
When we started out, it was over 40,000 abortions a year. The country doubled itself since, and it's under 35,000 now.
Okay.
So unfortunately, it's high, but it's on a significant, significant decline, and we believe it will go even under.
Wonderful.
But I want you to know that the Christian connection, when we have Christians like yourselves, who really come to Israel with respect for the Jewish people and want to partner together with the Jews and stand by our side. I think that the Jewish communities need to learn that as well.
Yes.
You're not here to convert
right.
us.
Have agendas.
You're here. Your agenda is to really do the right thing. You know, and we see this in the war. You know, I see all kinds of people come to America, plead with Biden to help release the hostages.
Yes.
We're not interested in trusting man. We need to trust God.
Yes.
And Biden, as the president of the United States, has the choice to merit the opportunity to be God's outstretched arm. And if he misses that opportunity, God will find someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to choose to be on the side of am I partnering with God or not? And when you come along, try to help the Jewish people, we have to celebrate that. It's taken time for the Jews and the Christians to, you know, to have these discussions. But I think there's nothing greater than when we're embracing life. I want to share one more thing. Can I?
Okay, yes, please.
During the war, and I think everybody needs to hear this, one of my greatest fears is that my son will have to kill. Mm-hmm. It's not whether it's permissible. It's mandated to win this war. We must win this war until the end. But I don't want my son to kill. Mm-hmm. It's a nation celebrating life. But unfortunately, we have to sometimes do things that are unthinkable.
Yes.
And the scars that these people have to go through because they don't have a choice.
Right.
That's an atrocity into itself. And I think the same thing is happening with the abortion issue. We need to send the message out there that women should never, if you're talking about pro-choice, they should have the choice to have the child. The pro-choice movement talks about not enabling that choice.
Right.
And the damage that it does to women before the unborn child. And we have so many stories. Many of our volunteers come to us because of experiences they have, right? And they said, we realize only afterwards. When you are a nation, and I think the world, not only the nation of the Jews and Christians, but the world rather embrace life. We need to give them that opportunity to embrace life and not have to have those scars. So,
well, Nir, it's wonderful talking to you today and hearing about this amazing organization and the work you're doing. And I just pray that the Lord would bless you.
Amen.
And increase your voice and your impact.
Amen.
Throughout the Jewish community in America as well, and save as many lives as possible.
Amen. Thank you very much. Yes. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of Out of Zion with Susan Michael. Be sure to subscribe to Out of Zion now on Apple Podcasts, cpnshows.com, YouTube, or wherever you like to listen and learn. Out of Zion with Susan Michael is a production of ICEJ USA, all rights reserved.